Dan to Cody, from Gillette to Rock Springs, this is Let's Talk Wyoming, your weekly dose of Wyoming politics. Because politics may be complicated, but I'm here to break it down and help you make sense of it all. I'm Amy Edmonds, former legislator from Cheyenne. Thanks for being here. Hey guys, welcome back to Let's Talk Wyoming. So today's episode is one of two episodes I'm dropping this week in what I'm calling my July 4th double header. Today we're talking all things Wyoming politics. Friday is a special 4th of July episode, which will be a good discussion around a book by Russell Kirk called The Roots of the American Order, and why I believe that book so clearly lays out that America wasn't some happy accident or something that was designed out of a singular intellectual process, but rather she is the culmination of the historical experiences of some of mankind's most successful civilizations, like Athens, Jerusalem, Rome, and London. I hope you enjoy that. But first, Wyoming news. Last Friday, Judge Peter Frolicker in Laramie County District Court issued a temporary injunction blocking Wyoming's new education savings account, which is called the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship, from releasing its funds. Now, make no mistake, I think this is a preview, okay? The injunction is potentially a step towards declaring the entire program unconstitutional. I was in the courtroom for the three-hour discussion with the arguments going back and forth, and I want to kind of break that down for you. But before I start, I want to talk for just a minute or two about Judge Frolicker, because I think this background will be helpful in the discussions going forward. In late February, Judge Frolicker rendered another decision on a different set of questions before the court involving the state of Wyoming. That question, or the question, like this case, was brought by the teachers' union. And it asked the court if the Wyoming legislature has unconstitutionally underfunded the public school system by not fully funding the external cost adjustment. There were a few other questions asked of the court, but the main thrust was whether or not the state had lived up to its constitutional mandate, as interpreted by the courts, to fully and adequately fund public education. Now, Judge Frolicker ruled in February in a 189-page opinion against the state on every single question, and spent a considerable amount of time in his opinion going, in my opinion, well beyond the scope of the questions posed before the court. He talked about things that should be in the basket of goods, which is a fancy way of saying all the items that the state has to pay for. That's what the basket of goods essentially is. He talked about what was in the basket that shouldn't be in it. In my mind, the opinion, which is now on appeal by the state up to the Wyoming Supreme Court, it went well outside of the question he was asked to answer and is a clear example of a judge going far beyond their scope. I think that information is relevant to this discussion. Okay, so back to the case last Friday in Laramie County District Court and the injunction Judge Frolicker placed on the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship, barring it from distributing funds. So nearly 4,000 Wyoming families have applied to educate their children outside the public school system, all of whom have now been left pretty much high and dry. Those funds were supposed to have been released by Superintendent of Public Instruction Megan Degenfelder on July 1st. Instead, for now, they're on hold. So today we're going to start by backing up and talking about what the actual mission is when we talk about public education, because I think we need to deconstruct that a bit to get to the heart of this. Something that I think is often lost when we talk about public education, and something that I have used numerous times when talking to someone who doesn't support school choice necessarily, to help them understand why I do. And then we'll talk about the hearing last Friday and what's at stake in this battle for the long-term health of the public school system, as well as for school choice, and why I think Wyoming's values are in line with school choice and on the line should the courts rule against the legislature's plenary power to create public good programs like the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship. Should the decision make permanent by the courts the idea that this public good program is somehow an extension of the public school system, which I don't believe that it is, and I think a lot of other folks would say the same, then I believe the courts will have given themselves far more power than the framers ever intended, and that idea will forever enshrine the complete and total monopoly of education by the teachers' union and the Wyoming public education system. So there's a lot at stake here, folks. I would make the argument in this podcast that if it happens, we will never see any kind of significant reforms within the public education system itself to help it grow and improve, because monopolies do not tilt towards any significant reforms or healthy innovations, which is why I have always supported school choice because it makes public schools stronger, not weaker. That is a fact. As I said, last Friday, Laramie County Judge Peter Frolicker froze the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship funds and said that he would issue a full written decision of his injunction by mid-July. The plaintiffs are, of course, the teachers' union, and their claim is that essentially education funds to alternate education providers is a violation of the state constitution, a point they could only win if they convince the courts that any money spent on education by the legislature is, in fact, education money, given the funds used to start up the scholarship were not taken from traditional education accounts, which is why the state legal team contended that this is an additional service funded separately from the public education system, and no fundamental rights were denied. So let me talk a little bit about what the mission of education was when we first decided to do it so long ago. Why do we, as a people, believe in educating our citizens? Why does the government take people's hard-earned money and then use them to educate everyone's children? The why is the purpose. So let's answer those questions. We do it because, as the framers intended, we understand in a country like ours, where we must govern ourselves, we have to have an educated citizenry. The founders went so far as to say that essentially education should be about making citizens who can vote and who can participate and lead, because without it, our form of self-government is essentially doomed. But as we created the education system over the centuries, we have drifted away from the mission. The why. Last week, I read something I think that fits perfectly in this conversation. It was a discussion of something called proceduralism, which is just a fancy way of saying the obsession with bureaucracy, with red tape, or an obsession with, as Dickens put it, and I prefer, the office of circumlocution. Let me read a little bit from that, and then we'll continue. Quote, "A lot of reasons education is so hard to reform, from the structure of the school day to the way reading is or isn't taught to school choice, is because a lot of people are invested in the existing process more than they are in what the process was created to do. As a bureaucratic and political reality, educating kids is a second-order concern for a lot of the education establishment. The primary goal is making sure the educators maintain their monopoly." Unquote. So today, in most part, we have forgotten the primary mission is to educate children, and we have become obsessed instead with protecting bureaucracy, with protecting process. And in doing so, we have created, or we try to create, a monopoly inside the public education system that will, in fact, and this is my argument, entomb it from any meaningful reform or innovation. We have gone down this road into worshiping process. We defend systems instead of people. We protect these processes instead of the main mission. Because if we were still focused on the main mission, we would agree that the legislature can and should find and support every kind of education delivery system. Period. Okay, so that's kind of the deconstruction. That's my reasoning. Now, back to last week in the courtroom. The argument in the courtroom was all about procedures, right? Just like we were just discussing, about how tax dollars move, about what bucket the money sits in, about which system gets the check. And listen, I'm not blaming the courts. We have a constitution. It's being interpreted by this judge, and that's what he'll do. I mean, he said it. He called it his opinion, and that's what it is. And there's going to be a lot more to come before this is all over. But the question I think we need to remind ourselves is, what were tax dollars meant to do in the first place? Well, they were meant to educate children, not to support or sustain a system, not to preserve buildings, not to guarantee jobs, to educate children. And so when we fight for public schools as a system, as a monopoly, we will get nothing but lackluster results every single time. And history proves that true. Reform will be unachievable. And that's what the teachers' union has always fought for. To protect their monopoly. And I think in a state like Wyoming, I mean, I'm not going to go into how damaging unions are. I don't think I need to say it on this podcast. I think pretty much everyone understands that. But when you look over the fight for school choice, you'll find the same pattern. You know, bureaucracies defending themselves, systems protecting themselves, processes clinging to themselves, and not because they're efficient. Not because they always work, but because the process has become the thing, right? It's what we do. We send our kids decade after decade into schools. Some succeed. Some fail. Rinse and repeat. Why? Well, some would say it's unconstitutional to do anything else, to give parents choice. I reject that idea. Instead, I would say that our public dollars aren't married to public buildings. They're married to the mission to educate children. And taxpayers have the right to ensure that mission is achieved by whatever means. And I do not believe for a second that the framers of our state constitution ever believed in the words they were putting in that document, that they were creating a monopoly. And I think more of us need to understand that. It's the reason that when people in polling you know, or somewhere else, when they're presented with this idea that a school choice program is going to steal from their children's learning, they don't like it, right? I mean, it's the classic way teachers unions pull people, because the idea is married to a building and teachers unions can scare them into thinking it's going to get demolished, right? Instead, when parents and people who are polled are presented with the idea that they can take this money themselves if they wish, and here's the important part, and when they understand that when others take this money, the public school system that their child might be in could improve, they're all for it. And the data around public schools improving when there are public school programs around is out there. And if you don't believe that data, I will say at the very least, you cannot make a credible case that school choice programs have destroyed public schools, because they have not. There is not a single solitary example of the demise of a public school system in this country because of school choice. Full stop. There's lots of scary BS stories from different states, but the systems are still there. It's a fake monster the status quo folks like to pull out to scare parents and voters. But I will stand by the data that choice creates increases in scores inside of public school systems. Why? Well, because competition works. We Republicans know that. It has always worked. The United States of America is a living, breathing example of competition and why it works. And it works in education when it's allowed to, which is why creating a constitutional monopoly is the worst thing this state could ever do to improve education. It will do the very opposite. But for many people, based on a lot of comments that I've seen around the Steamboat Scholarship from folks across the state on social media, it's become very tribal very fast, right? Because the disinformation around school choice has traveled fast. And that fake monster is scary. It's going to hurt my kids. And so therefore, it's a bad thing. But for decision makers, I would say this, don't lose sight of the mission, because for too long, we've lost sight of it, and we've just sort of mired in protecting floundering systems. So the legal battle is a long way from being over, and I'll have more to come about that, but we've got a ways to go. What I would say is that I think it's really good to deconstruct an issue, to get to the heart of it, to think about why do we do what we're doing, and to figure out why we support the mission that created public school in the first place. And that is because we believe that we should be educating children. And so it's why you can look at things that are happening. I'm going to talk about this later in the podcast. When we look at things that are happening that actually harm children, it's almost always because someone's trying to protect a system. And we've got some examples of that. That with homeschoolers in some of our school districts. And I'll talk about that later. Because here's the deal, the mission, that's what we all agreed upon. We agreed upon it. We allow the government to take our money because it's a big deal, right? It's always a big deal. The fact that people pay their taxes and they go somewhere, and taxpayers have always been very interested in approving how those tax dollars are spent. And we are living in a very political moment right now when all eyes are on waste, fraud, and abuse, when taxpayers are laser focused on how much and for what reason those dollars are being taken. But in educating kids, I think the more we think about the mission, the purpose, which is to educate kids, the better we can see the mission is large. Again, the mission is not to sustain a system, not to preserve buildings, not to guarantee jobs. Sure, that's what happens, and rightfully so, that is ultimately what happens, but it's secondary to the mission. So let me be very clear, school choice, even the school choice programs here in Wyoming, they're not going to end the system. Okay. It was the thought that was running through my head for the entire 3 hours in that courtroom. Like, this is not going to end the public school system in this state. Anybody who's trying to say that is creating scary false narratives for a political purpose. That's it. It's not going to destroy buildings. It's not going to have people losing jobs. The public education system is aggressively reactionary, as seen by the two legal challenges the teachers union has filed in this state. It's strong. It will continue on. And I have always been very surprised at the kind of kid glove treatments that generally the public education system gets. I mean, obviously, particularly by the courts in Wyoming. Some would say that's because they have this supernatural constitutional protection. I just disagree. I've read that constitution many times. I disagree. They've won a lot of big cases, there's no doubt. As a matter of fact, the legislature is constantly faced with the reality of more court cases. And just as an aside, folks, remember that every court case filed by the teachers union cost the state significant money, money that could, of course, be used for the public education system, but can't. It's paying lawyers. So their protectionism, as it were, is detrimental to the system in reality. And yet the system is strong, right? Still demanding more. By the way, some talk about, you know, Wyoming's public school system, and the way they talk about it, you would think that it's like seconds away from closing its doors. And the way it's presented to voters and to parents oftentimes, but come on. I mean, we all know that isn't true. What I have found, and what I think most people know is true, is that it is a monster of a thing. It is very politically, it can be very politically powerful and strong, and it's not going to go anywhere. And I, like so many who support school choice, don't want the public school system abolished or to disappear, because the mission is to educate children. And children are being educated all over Wyoming in public schools in many ways very well. But what we want is to ensure excellent in education, because it's our tax dollars being spent. And what we want is, where those failures are happening, that there is an alternate system for those failures. That's what we want. That's the accountability piece that needs to be addressed, right? That's what we're saying. If you create a monopoly and you cut that avenue off, and there's only one delivery system for education in this state using our tax dollars, you will not get what you think you're going to get from that. So let me walk through some thoughts I had while sitting in the courtroom last week, because I took copious notes and I want to share them with you. Some of them, I'm not going to share them all. It was a lot. It was 3 hours and it was a lot. So this issue was brought up, that the public education system has these guaranteed dollars. We know that. The right of education is actually guaranteed in our Constitution, but it's guaranteed in a lot of state constitutions, right? Ours is worded strongly, no doubt. That's absolutely true. The wording is different, in some ways a little different. But that right is all over state constitutions all across the West, because state framers, I believe, had the original framers' ideas in their heads when they sat down to write their founding documents, right? So here's the thing. Judge Frohlicher himself actually said, and I want to note it here, because it's something that, you know, is along the lines of calling the language in the Constitution, the right of education, a super right, which I was kind of perplexed, right? I don't know what a super right is. He said it. I don't know what a super right is. But I think, I could be wrong, what he was essentially saying is that our right to education in the Wyoming Constitution is somehow on the same level as your First Amendment right. Your First Amendment rights, excuse me. And here's where, yet again, Judge Frohlicher and I are going to part company, because I think we're going to part company in his decision. But I'll talk about that later. The First Amendment rights, like many of the rights in the U.S. Constitution, and are what we call negative rights, okay? Which means they restrict the government from infringing on rights that we were already given from God at birth. They're ours. They're manifest rights that we have as human beings. No government gave them to us, and no government has the right to take them. The right to an education is a positive right, in that it's something you get from the government. And remember, what is given can be taken away. Negative rights are far superior, but for that very fact, they cannot be taken away, and because they really don't require anything but restraining government, which is the entire idea of the framers of this country, restraining government. Positive rights often take from others to give something, as is the case in public education. And I would also add that I believe it is a good faith argument to say that U.S. constitutional, the U.S. parents to direct the upbringing and education of their children is arguably greater than the state right to a free public education. A right, by the way, that the United States Supreme Court upheld in a huge case last Friday, on the very same day Judge Frohlicher was talking about educational rights in Wyoming. I would say this case has large elements of that U.S. constitutional right in it. But okay, sorry, I went down a rabbit hole there. Let's get back to the main point. So I got the sense that the judge really thinks that the right to an education in our Constitution may well be at the level of the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment rights. I think there's some serious ramifications to that line of thought. And I think the first one, and the one that was mentioned by another lawyer, the one who represents the school choice and parents here in Wyoming, made the point that one of the reasons that it hasn't been treated as that kind of right is because no student, essentially, and there are many students out there. Again, I am not slamming on the public education system. I'm just saying I have met them. I know them. I know some adults who were deeply failed by the public education system in the state of Wyoming. They have never filed suit under that guaranteed right and sued the state and said, listen, their right given by the government was not honored, and that the public education system ruined their educational potential, and that they have all this lost potential that they'll never get back. That can be quantified in millions and millions of dollars, right? It can absolutely be quantified. That's never happened, but there will be ramifications, I think. What I would say, though, is that the education system, has all of this front-loaded protectionism in it, but on the backside, there's no accountability generally, or at least not in any significant sense. And I don't think that they can have it both ways in what potential decisions may be coming down the line. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Because the issue with accountability is that most people treat criticism as betrayal. I've talked about this before when I'm talking about kind of some of the, you know, populism in this state and the problems we have. I have found that criticism is treated as betrayal as well inside the public education system. Okay. At least that was my experience in the legislature. And I don't think that has changed much. I think many parents of whom have seen issues like this, many parents themselves who currently have school-aged children who have left public schools, and it's the people who are stuck in Mission who are going to actually create the reforms that create excellence in education. Okay. The people that are on Mission and not on process are the ones who will create real reform, meaningful reform that will educate children. We all as taxpayers of that system, though, need to demand responsibility. Because when we see kids that aren't being educated properly, we should demand that it be fixed. It's our money. And it's not an attack. It's trying to make the system better. And we should all try to do that. And listen, there are lots of parents who choose to opt out of the public education system for a whole host of other reasons that have nothing to do with failures, okay? The Steamboat Legacy Scholarship, in large part, is most likely filled with people that simply want a different option for their children. Could be because of their child. Children learn in all different ways. There are all kinds of challenges to educating children. I think a lot of the great innovators working inside our public school system know this to be true, because there's lots of people inside the public education system who support choice and options, because they know it. They've lived it in their professions. So I think, and it's, you know, it is perfectly okay for people to opt out of the public education system and opt into the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship for every possible reason. So let's talk about the issue with this case declaring school choice unconstitutional and why I think it's going to be very problematic in a couple of ways. First, as I've already said, because I can guarantee you this. If this judge and the Supreme Court say that the public school system has a complete and total monopoly on education, it will entomb the public education system and make it utterly incapable of reform and growth. That's true. But outside of that, there are other problems around the power of the legislature versus the power of the courts. And I think we need to talk about that and what that would mean. Because I think the problem for Wyoming is if the courts decide that the Constitution says that no dollars can be given outside of the public education system, in part because public dollars have to be in total control of the state and cannot be used for public good programs like the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship, I think this raises a whole host of real issues with public good programs in general, because we have some out there already. But I'm not going to get into all of that specifically today, because that's a lot. At the very least, the courts will be saying, I think in part, that any funds expended by the legislature can be questioned by the teachers' union if they believe it interferes with the monopoly in any way, and that they will most likely win every single time. And perhaps even more broadly, if they object to a program on the grounds that the money taken will harm public schools, then a whole lot of programs will exist only if the teachers' union likes them. And that's a really scary reality, folks. Go take a look at the mission of the National Teachers Union. It's a scary reality. I mean, I think it's untenable, and I think it's wrong in every possible way. But if you follow the not just the legal ideas here, but the political consequences of these ideas, we may be headed there. I hope not. But based, I think, on the questioning of the judge, I suspect he's going to rule the program unconstitutional because he believes it is part of the public education system, and because he believes that all dollars must only be spent on the public education system to fulfill the education mission. He may well rule to enshrine that monopoly. And for those who think that this will be a victory for education, I've got some history and economic theory for you to catch up on. Okay. Because like I said, the first and biggest concern I have about this is that it will entomb the public education system. So the school choice lawyer called the scholarship a public good program, and he made the case that the legislature has the right to fund those programs as they see fit. And I agree with him. Okay. Once the legislature has fulfilled its mandate to fully fund the public education system, they should be allowed to seek other ways to fulfill the mission of educating kids, because that's the whole point, right? The mission is the point, not the system, to educate children. And there are all kinds of ways to do that. All kinds of innovations and reforms that the public schools cannot achieve. And that's not a fault of theirs. They do other things really, really well, but they can't do every kind of innovation. So the legislature has a constitutional duty to fulfill that mission, as well as a duty to fully fund the public education system. And I think they can do both. I do. I believe it. As do a whole bunch of other folks and the lawyers in that courtroom and other lawyers that I've talked to. I know the legislature has the plenary power to do all kinds of other things outside of the public education system to educate children, to continue the mission and those public good programs in the most informal of senses. And this case may take all of that away. This case may take all of that away. Now, it should be noted that there are other public, what you would describe as public good programs in Wyoming. There's other stuff that have nothing to do with education. The lawyer named some of them in his discussion that this puts all of that kind of on the line. But what the teachers union is trying to maintain here is that any program that involves education of a minor child in any possible way is a public good program that they have a monopoly on. And any dollar that goes to anything outside of their monopoly is unconstitutional. And that is protecting a monopoly. I mean, that's what it is. It's protecting it. They don't wish to have any public dollars. And what drove me crazy is they say public dollars as though there's a tree in the back of the Capitol that has public dollars growing on it, right? Public dollars come from me and from you, from all of us. We are taxpayers who voluntarily give our hard-earned money to do this, right? They act as though there's some kind of public dollars that nebulously, drop from the sky, and that they have 100% total right to them, and that it's only theirs. And I'm not shocked that they feel this way, given the kid gloves the courts have given them. But here's the thing, taxpayers do have a say. They always have. And we all have a say in our Constitution. We should never forget that. We are not helpless victims as this all works its way through. So this is going to be a long case. The injunction was just a little procedural thing, and then we'll move forward. Of course, one friend of mine who's a lawyer pointed something out to me that I want to mention. He pointed out to me that the teachers union, now that they have this injunction, is incentivized to slow walk this entire process. And that's what they will do. Okay. And Judge Frolicker, who stands for retention on the ballot next year, has a reason to slow walk as well, quite frankly. But ultimately, based on his own questions and comments, I believe he'll rule it unconstitutional. And yes, I think agreeing to the injunction essentially oftentimes means that the judge believes there's a high probability that the plaintiff, which is the teachers union, will prevail in their argument, which is another reason why I think he's going to rule that way. But I also think it is highly likely that this outcome will be slow walked. For years. I mean, it's going to take a long time. So to all those families out there in limbo, actually harmed in my mind by the halting of the funds, I agree for you guys. I can only imagine the scramble you're going through right now at the end of June, expecting a payment in a matter of 3 days, and then to have this judge stop that. I know you're probably trying to figure out what you're going to be doing now, and I agree for you because I know that's hard. Ultimately, we'll have to see what happens. I think it's going to go to the Wyoming Supreme Court and possibly beyond. What I know for certain is that this will take a long period of time, years most likely. I mean, I think the injunction itself, once it's appealed to the Supreme Court, may not take quite as long. And I think the injunction is going to be appealed because the state's counsel asked for that right to be preserved right before the judge ruled from the bench. So, okay, just one more thought on that day in the court. It was really fascinating, like I said, this discussion, the teachers union, because one of their arguments against dollars flowing, particularly to private schools, is that private schools can deny admission to certain students, and certainly religious schools, and that's mainly what we're talking about here, usually generally have specific standards by which they accept students. So the teachers union made this statement while they were arguing in front of the judge that this would mean, quote, licensing state-funded discrimination, unquote, because private schools can deny students admission. Now, something, by the way, that has already been decided by the United States Supreme Court. So I'm not sure if the teachers union was embracing a position of religious discrimination in some new fashion, or if they were just upholding some old tired liberal talking points, but they made this point. And it's one of their arguments, which I think is really interesting. The state's counsel, as he kind of presented his case, he seemed a bit unsure of himself. I'm going to be honest with you. I was underwhelmed. And that's nothing against him. He did mention that he'd only had this case for 2 weeks. I'm not for sure. I have no idea why that's the case. I don't know why he was so newly put on this. I mean, obviously, the suit was filed, a couple weeks ago? I don't know. But he seemed a little unsure of himself. And I will say that the judge was very different in his treatment of the state's counsel. The judge was very different. I mean, it was a marked difference. So I sat through the first hour and some as the teachers union lawyers made their case. They had a break. When we came back in, it was like a different judge came in. He interrupted the state numerous times and not in a polite way. He challenged the state on many points. He's challenged the lawyer for the parents on several points, didn't seem to try and maintain a neutral demeanor at all when the state and the school choice lawyer made their arguments. And as I said, just looking through his challenges and questions, because I wrote just about every one of them down. It seemed fairly clear to me. I mean, I even wrote down before he issued the injunction that he was going to rule for the injunction, but it seemed fairly clear to me that he's going to rule the program unconstitutional, and then it'll go to the Supreme Court. I could be wrong, folks. I hope that I am. I hope that I'm dramatically misreading. I'm really good at sizing people up. I'm really good at body language. Everything about him, the way he took his glasses off his head, the way he sat back in his chair, the way he sat forward in his chair, the way he touched his face. There was a lot of tells. So I'm just saying, pretty certain, but maybe I'm going to be wrong. And I hope that I am. So the injunction itself was really interesting. Several lawyers I spoke to before I went in, you know, the days before, just did not think the judge would be able to issue an injunction because it requires approving what's called irreparable harm to be proven, right? Which in this case, how could they? Every harm that the teachers' union lawyers presented was set in the future and was a matter of conjecture, right? There's certainly not enough information to form those conclusions. The state's response was the one I would have given, which is they said it well, they have a fact problem, which they did because it was conjecture, right? Like there could be, I mean, something's going to happen. Maybe there's something. Again, $30 million. I'm just going to say this. In granting the injunction, the judge said yes to obviously this idea that there was irreparable harm, which is essentially to say that if the dollars, and listen, $30 million, folks, that's what we're talking about. I think it's 30, maybe it's 40. Doesn't matter. That is nothing compared to what we pay in the public education system, okay? So just FYI, that's not a lot of money. I know $30 million sounds, and to me, it's a huge amount of money. The Edmonds household, wow, that's a lot of money, but it's not. Okay. Somehow that $30 million was going to bankrupt the public education system. I mean, I wonder if the judge was perhaps more concerned about this licensing of state-funded discrimination, as the teachers union described it. Or again, as I say, I think he already believes that constitutionally the state public education system has a monopoly, and therefore no dollars can ever be tainted by being given unconstitutionally to other education providers. I suspect that's it, but he obviously issued the injunction. So what I do know is that this gives a tremendous amount of power to the teachers union and to the courts to essentially dictate to the legislature where and when they spend money. So there's just so many ramifications, I think, to what happens and what may well happen from now on. I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see. Like I said, I don't believe that the right of education inside the Wyoming Constitution is a super right that this judge seems to kind of hint at. I don't believe that the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship is somehow part of the public education system. It is a continuation of a mission that is separate from the public education system, of which the plenary powers of the legislature have every right to do that and to spend that money. But we'll see. Again, you know, the judge, as the judge said himself, this is going to be my opinion, and that's what it is, one person's opinion. And yes, it's important because obviously this is the system we have. And yes, we're going to support and abide by these decisions that our courts make. There was a lot of good history brought up by the state's counsel. I don't have enough time. I'm running out of time already. I'm not going to go into it. But there was a lot of good history by the state's counsel, by the lawyer for the school choice parents, talking about exactly why did the framers put these ideas into the Constitution. I think that's going to bear out in a big way when we hear all of the arguments when this goes to a full trial. There's some really interesting ideas. Of course, the sections inside the three articles in the Constitution that are being used, Article 1, Article 3, and Article 7, are quite a distance from each other in the Constitution, but has often been lumped together, and certainly the teachers' union is lumping them together to try to somehow say that this is about education only, or to try to sort of create these walls to create this monopoly. Again, protecting systems, right? Protecting systems. So we have to remember, what were tax dollars meant to do in the first place? We have to remember what we're talking about, the mission and the purpose, not protecting systems. And we have to remember that it's about children, it's about parents, and it's about freedom to choose, right? It always has been. It always should be. I've read from a great quote a couple times, I think. Maybe I know at least once on here, I think I've read one Ronald Reagan quote, and I don't have it right now, about freedom and education. Because like so many true conservatives, Republicans understand, like him, that the mission is about freedom, right? So let's choose freedom. But I think we're bound now by the courts and their decisions, obviously. So for all of you out there in support and are worried, just remember we all have a stake in what our Constitution means. For all of you in support of a monopoly, just remember a long march of history, economic and policy history, stands against anything good happening from a monopoly. And what I know about politics and elections is that when policies continually do not reflect the values of voters, voters tend to make dramatic changes. We've seen that already. In this case, I think along with the pending abortion case, have a high probability of creating more dramatic political changes in Wyoming. I think that's a fact. So be careful what you wish for. Buckle up. Some folks may not be getting what they think they'll be getting. And I think that's a reality. Okay, so we'll wait and see. I want to couple this conversation real fast. And I know I'm 39 minutes into this and I try not to keep these too long, but I just want to, because these two things actually really are the same. We need to talk about it real quick. I want to talk for a minute about some stories coming out of Washakie County and now Carbon County and Rawlins about what's happening inside the public schools and kind of the dramatic new way that they've started to decide to treat homeschoolers. So I bring this up because it's obviously, I think, a power play that's happening. And it's just so unfortunate, but it speaks again to protectionism of monopolies, right? Systems, you know, protecting systems. So a week or so ago, Rawlins had a school board meeting. I think it was maybe last Thursday. The Carbon County School District met to discuss a proposal that middle school homeschoolers should be barred from participating in public school sports. Barred because the practice has been a long-standing that they've been there, right? Lots of kids have had homeschooling team members. That's just a reality. So you might ask yourself, didn't that just also happen in Washakie County? I mean, like now it's happening in Carbon. Did they talk to each other? I think the answer is yes. I think there are some folks inside the education establishment who decided they wanted to, this is my opinion, they decided they wanted to pay back people for the education savings account, for the Steamboat legacy, right? Because again, these things are ugly when your mission is to protect process and not children. It's ugly. And so that's what I think has happened. And those people, you know, I think will only create more suffering because that's the result of what they're trying to do is that children will suffer, teams will suffer, parents will suffer. The practice in Wyoming has been to allow middle school kids to participate in public school sports. I think in high school, they may have to pay a fee, but these two counties didn't even contemplate adding a fee to middle schoolers, which would have been appropriate. Like I have heard, and I can totally accept the argument. Wait a minute, you know, the middle school kids were paying nothing. Okay. Then make them pay a fee. That was not contemplated. What was contemplated was to just bar them, to kick them out. So there was a quote in the Cowboy State Daily from two homeschooling parents, Cody Anderson and Laura Clark, who said that they pay their taxes and that they care about the kids. And the quote was this. It was, quote, "It should be deeply concerning the superintendent drafted a policy that would hurt kids in this district for which he gave the people only political reasons," unquote. Now, at the time, I think the superintendent thought that he had the school board on board up there in Rawlins, up in Carbon County. But after this packed school board meeting, when parent after parent got up and talked, half the school board clearly flipped. You know, they were thanking parents and all this stuff. I think it was pretty clear that they had decided this was a big mistake and that the policy maybe was not as great as the superintendent tried to tell them. Because I think the reality here is that, you know, the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship really threatens the school's established monopoly on public taxpayer funding. That's obvious. And I think that seeing this kind of treatment happening right after the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship was passed, it shows you very, very clearly what happens when your mission is to support systems and to protect systems. Kids get hurt. That's the reality, okay? I think the argument about whether or not using funds, any tax dollars, because you realize the legislature appropriates out of all kinds of money into all kinds of places and pots, the argument that they cannot be spent on anything but inside the public school system, I think that's obviously protecting a monopoly. This decision to bar children who were participating, who were, you know, public school kids' teammates simply because they weren't sitting in public school classes means that you have lost the plot completely. You do not care about children. You care about monopolies. The mission is to educate. Parents are the best deciders of how their children should be educated. Parents, taxpayers have the right to have some access to those tax dollars to educate their children. I'm fully on board with the Steamboat Legacy Scholarship, with education savings accounts. I think they're a very, very good thing. You know, the legislature passed one in 2024. I think a lot of people have tried to reason with themselves that somehow that was okay and was never going to be challenged. But once they went universal, well, that was just a bridge too far. Now, I will say that I think the 2024 version was a lot less threatening to the education establishment because it was smaller. It was income tested, but it was on its way to being just as threatening. This was coming no matter what. I mean, that's just the reality. This was coming. So we have these stories out of Washakie and out of Carbon. I suspect we'll probably see more. Maybe not. I mean, maybe some folks are going to realize like this was not a good idea. More importantly, maybe elected school board members are recognizing that this is wildly unpopular because they have to stand for re-election in front of the same voters that they're telling them their kids can't do this. And it wasn't just the parents of homeschoolers that were angry, because there's lots of public school parents who know that their child's teammate is a homeschooler and they don't have any problem with it, right? And historically, from the people that I've talked to, historically, the relationship between the local school district and homeschoolers has been really, really good. I mean, this is trying to create all kinds of anxieties that it doesn't need to, because the relationships have always been very good. Lots of homeschoolers in this state consider the school district to be helpful in their educational journey. Lots of them go to the public schools for different classes and for things that they need. And that's the kind of relationships we should be fostering. That is exactly the kind of side-by-side stuff that we as Americans are going to use to fulfill the mission of education. Not monopolies, not this kind of busted kneecap behaviors, because monopolies don't work. Monopolies rot from the inside out. They don't achieve the very best. You know, I'm a Republican. Competition really, really, really works. If you think that about the oil industry, but you don't think that about education, you're wrong. You're just wrong. You're misguided. I think there's going to be a lot of time for Wyoming citizens to watch all of this unfold. What I do know nationwide is that, you know, 82% of likely voters in the United States support school choice. 86% of Republicans say that they're more likely to pick a candidate who backs choice. I think that's a reality all over the country. Those numbers have increased and stayed strong for a long time. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. For now, nearly 4,000 kids are at risk right now waiting for those funds that they're not going to get. We will just have to wait and see. I think it's important. I think it's really important for all of us that we keep our eye on this and, you know, see how it works out. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining me on Let's Talk Wyoming. I appreciate your comments, your thoughts. You can find me over on Facebook at Let's Talk Wyoming. I do have a website on its way to being up. It's not quite ready yet, but soon enough it will be. Of course, you can find Let's Talk Wyoming anywhere you go find podcasts. I really appreciate all the comments. I wanted you to know at some point in the near future, probably hopefully by the end of this year, I'm going to move into video format so you can see my happy little face as I make this podcast, just not right now. So, like I said, this podcast drops this week, but there's going to be another one. This is my double header week. You've got one coming on July 4th. Again, full of egg headery. Again, a talk about the roots of the American order, a book that probably isn't being taught in public schools. It's a great book by Russell Kirk. I think it's worth listening to the podcast and then go reading the book for yourself. I hope it gives you, it edifies your conservatism, makes you think more about conservatism, challenges you on some thoughts, and really makes you think about what this country was founded on. America wasn't a big happy accident. It was built on the backs of some of the most successful human civilizations, Athens, Jerusalem, Rome, and London. And so that's going to be coming up next on July 4th. So I hope you enjoy. Sorry, this was a long podcast this week. Happy 4th of July. I will say that again in my 4th of July podcast. All right, guys, thank you so much. Take care.